Are we living in a revolutionary moment? Fareed Zakaria makes the case that we are. And if he's right, there's a lot at stake.
I think the stakes are really liberal democracy. What has happened is the people who are displaced, anxious, angry, radicalized, the focus of their ire, their attention, is basically to tear down the system, you know, the world that produced all this.
Hear more this week on The Gray Area, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Giddy Dwarves Worry Happily. That was suggested by Clifton Durham on Patreon. Thank you, Clifton, for being a member of the 420 Club at patreon.com/gettingdug. That's how you get your name on the show, and you get to see pre-taped episodes like this one. This one right now. This one is a pre-taped one. And you'll get to see it a day early. Like I said, it's at patreon.com/gettingdug. Doug plugs. Doug Loves Movies, 12 Guests of Christmas tapings are happening this Sunday and Monday, November 25th and 26th at the Gramercy Theater in New York City. And then on December 2nd and 3rd at Largo in Los Angeles. Plus, I'll be appearing in the Emerald Cup at Santa Rosa, California at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. I'll be like introducing bands and participating in panels and stuff. And that's December 15th through the 16th. For more info, go to douglovesmovies.com and enjoy the show. See, I was right. Blast off, here we are, we're in the basement. Pre-taping a show for your future enjoyment.
Somebody clapped.
I love entertainment that travels through time. And we're here with the legendary...
Joe Lynch.
In my own mind, yes.
I was trying to decide, am I going to make that joke?
Well, thank God Tommy did it for you.
Yes, that was beautiful. The legendary Tommy Chong and the slightly less legendary Joe Lynch are here.
I'll take that.
And we're just gonna hang out and get high. You guys have both been on the show before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For those that don't, know for some reason, Joe, of course, is a filmmaker who, I don't know if I've talked to you about this on the show, but boy, is Mayhem a lot of fun, that movie
that
you made. Yeah. Of course I saw it.
My heart's grown three sizes bigger right now. See The Grinch this weekend. No, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
Thank you so much. You talking about acclaimed filmmakers, we're speaking to one of the most acclaimed filmmakers of all time.
Right, an innovator as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can just, mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's talk your body of work.
I was so excited.
When you texted me that this was happening, I was just blown away because just on a filmmaker level,
thank you.
I'm honored to be in your presence.
Yeah, I am a legend.
But can we just talk about After Hours?
You could talk about anything you want to, because I really did plan this. I was like, I'm going to get really high and then watch Joe talk to Tommy.
That's okay, because if we can just talk about your body of work, I would be fine.
Sure.
We could smoke a little, too. But
definitely going to smoke. We definitely have to start smoking. I almost forgot about that.
I'm on my lunch break now, so this is perfect timing.
Of the program. So you're in the middle of an edit on your next project,
Yes.
next thing?
Yep. I'm a few weeks away from delivering the new movie. I'm cutting it now, called Point Blank. No, not that one. Sorry. It's a remake of a French film that came out in 2010. It's a kind of action thriller, I guess you could say, stars Anthony Mackie, Frank Grillo, Marsha Gay Harden. I've now hit the Academy Award-winning pinnacle.
That's nice, yeah.
Where I can give direction and she can just kind of wave her Oscar and I'll go, fair enough, and just go back
That's
to one.
That's weird that Marsha brought that to the set.
Every day. Wow. She actually hung it on her, like a chain, like Flava Flav, where anytime there was a note, she would just go,
you'd be like, Marsha, that's weighing you down. We don't need a hunchback in the scene. We need you to stand upright.
She's just weighed down by it.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta admit though, one of the greatest movie-going experiences of my life happened during the shoot. Do you guys remember when 2001 came out on like IMAX over the summer? They had like a very special limited engagement.
Yes, and I meant to go and I didn't because I took a nap or something.
2.5 hour nap. Probably about right.
No, that movie is really, it's quite lulling.
It's the perfect cinematic sedative, I guess you could say.
Oh, okay.
Not bad.
Like that.
But they were showing it in IMAX and it just so happened to be playing in, we shot the movie in Cincinnati. And lovely Cincinnati, Ohio, home of Skyline Chili. And they're like, 1 weekend only, gotta go. So I bought like a bunch of tickets for the crew and just said, anybody who wants to come, it would be my pleasure to have you guys watch the movie with me. And fucking Marsha Gay Harden shows up.
Of course.
I'm like, cool, kick ass.
It's a free movie.
We sit down, yeah, fucking free movie, right? I mean, I'd watch Detective Pikachu if it was free.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch that, I'm gonna pay full price. But sitting down with Marsha, and then she goes, I just want to let you know, I've never seen this movie. So to sit next to one of my favorite actors and watch this movie for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Completely sober, by the way.
Nice.
Was insane. And then when the movie was over, she just, like, you look over at her, and she's just like, her head is back against the seat. She goes, Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
That's all she said.
Whoa.
That was it. And then it was just, she would send me texts about like, do you know what the Star Baby's about? And I'm like, oh, Marsha, we've been like, I've seen the movie a few times. I know the theories.
But you get working on movies and you don't get a social life, you know?
No. Well, that's the thing. Like every...
Usually you see movies when you're unemployed, you know?
I see a lot of movies.
I see a lot of movies then. Shit, I'm in trouble. But you're right, though. Like, yeah. When you're doing, like, 5-day weeks or 6-day weeks, it's like you have enough time for
you don't have a
laundry, you know, and then you're back to your shot list.
Yeah, you don't have a life.
There was this great bar in Cincinnati called Video Archives, which was a Tarantino-themed bar.
Oh,
where
nice.
The opening is an old video store, and you have to ask a question, like, you get a question about one of the movies, and there's all these VHS tapes. And if you get the answer right, you pull the button back, and a secret door opens up in the wall, and you walk into this total Tarantino bar. And needless to say, I was there a lot. But they would do movie nights every Saturday night, and they would show like Goodfellas. They showed Up and Smoke one night, which was great. And then I kept going so much, they're like, do you want to just run the movie nights and everything? So I started doing that. One night we watched 3 o'clock High, The Last Dragon, and then Maximum Overdrive.
3 o'clock High, a Japanese movie?
No. It's the one that came out in the '80s. It's the one with the bully, the high school bully.
Phil Juano.
Phil Juano.
Mm-hmm.
But what was great, like when you work on movies and you're always talking about movies and stuff, and then you quickly find out, like, holy shit, there's a lot of people who haven't seen this particular movie or that particular movie.
Well, there's
and
so
to,
many.
Yeah, and so, you know, showing The Last Dragon and 3 o'clock High together was awesome. And then Marsha Gay Harden shows up. She's like, I want to watch some movies.
I think she likes him.
That's fine. I'm totally fine with that. But then when we put on Maximum Overdrive, do you know Maximum Overdrive, Stephen King's only directorial effort?
I've probably seen it. I'm terrible with titles.
It's fair enough.
It's same as directions. I know what the place is next to.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know where the place is itself.
Yeah. You've
this
seen
is
Maximum
like the
Overdrive,
Killer
right?
Machines against Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we're watching that movie next, and again, watching Marsha Gay Harden watch this movie, and she just kept going, what the fuck is going on here? Totally different reaction than 2001. So to be able to have an experience of watching 2001 and Maximum Overdrive felt like a good balance, I'd say.
It's very good.
Well, let's balance out the chat with the weed smoking and try a little of this stuff. We've got the sativa's called, speaking of movies, Pineapple Express.
Hey!
Yeah, they made up the strain for the movie, and then now it's come full circle, and it's an actual strain that's out there that people can enjoy.
When I exhaled, there's like a cloud of Judd Apatow, like, furrow out of my mouth.
I don't think he had anything to do with that one.
No, didn't he produce it?
Maybe.
Have you guys seen the new Coen movie?
Oh, Buster Scruggs?
Yeah,
no,
have you
not
seen it?
Yet. Have
I
you?
Saw it.
And?
Yeah, oh, so good.
Really? Because it's an anthology, right? It's like a bunch of different stories?
It's a Coen movie.
That's all I needed.
It's a Coen movie.
But you can't always say that where you go like, oh, I want to see a good Coen Brothers movie. And you go, I got the perfect movie, A Serious Man. You'll love it. doesn't quite hit marks.
What I mean with the clone movie is that you don't know what you're
going to get.
Yeah, you have no idea. And then you wonder, wow, you know, because the actors talk to the screen and all, you know, they break all the rules.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Of course, I was stoned, so.
Speaking of which, all right.
But that doesn't make garbage good, though.
No, it doesn't.
Sure. You did watch Mayhem.
You smoke too much weed in your
day. That's probably it. I smoke too much.
Yeah. See, you're normal.
It makes me normal, yeah. I gotta smoke that little bit that just makes me crazy.
You gotta be on a dope fast for about a year.
A whole year?
Yep.
To be able to appreciate movies.
How long
again,
were you in prison, Tommy?
Nine months, but yeah, I was on a dope fast for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, because I was on pre-trial
probation. Oh, right, you had all the probation stuff.
And after trial, after sentence probation.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was out of weed
for two years.
2 years.
And then when you started up again, it must have been amazing.
It was so good.
What was that first hit like? was it like the end of 2001?
The first hit made me buy new shoes. Seriously. I had these old running shoes. They're skateboarder shoes, and I was on a beach, a very rugged beach in British Columbia, Canada, and I lit up, and I went walking on the logs, and I did a pratfall that was, you know, that if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, mm-hmm. Well, if a comic falls on his ass and he screams and nobody hears it, that was me. I laid there in my pain and thinking, it was like God said, okay, you're going to have a toke, but I'm going to fuck with you for, and it happened. But that was my first toke. It was
great. Then you still went back to it again. And
once you fall, you got to get back on the horse. You know?
So I'm going to quit for 2 years is the plan, according to Tommy.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll do it, man.
I'm going to pencil that in for.
But I bet you can't make a week.
I'd like to wait until
to
wait until like November-ish of 2020 before quitting for 2 years. I'd like things to settle down a little bit before I quit.
Wait until after the 311 cruise.
Well, that's for damn sure. You don't.
You got a cruise coming?
No. The band 311 does the 311 cruise, and you've done it what, three times now?
Dude, this is gonna be my sixth one, man.
311.
But this is this will be my sixth and their seventh, I think.
Wow.
I'm one behind. I didn't do one of them, but it's always a blast. And I, you know, again, ask you, are you gonna get a room and come on the cruise?
Me?
Yeah.
I want to this year. Yeah, because we have a mutual friend that's also playing.
Peanut, you gotta tell Peanut you want in because it's sold out. It's full.
Where's the cruise go to?
But they got, you know.
Well, they're going to Belize.
They know
this
people.
Year?
Belize, right. Yeah.
I want to go.
Yeah, the Mosquito Coast.
Goes to Belize, did you say? Where does the cruise go?
Belize, supposedly. Yeah.
There's a bunch of places. Yeah. Why hasn't someone
Belize it or not
remade the Mosquito Coast?
I don't know.
That's the perfect movie, right? Do you remember the Mosquito Coast with Harrison Ford? But the family that just says, fuck it.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin. No, mm-hmm. No, that was River. It was River Phoenix.
I get young River and young Joaquin. Not Joaquin. What's the other?
Rain?
River.
Flower.
Yeah, you're right. River. River.
Blossom.
River.
Dirt. Dirt Phoenix.
Joaquin was Leaf when he was a little kid.
Yeah, when he was in
Space Camp.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, damn, he beat me. God damn it.
You guys see a lot of movies.
But I know Space Camp because I'm in Space Camp.
What?
Yeah, I'm like one of the NASA guys sitting there panicking when they shoot children.
Wait.
It's true.
So do I have to go back and watch
Space Camp? Let's go to the clip.
Holy shit, that was amazing. Wow. I really hope you cut to the clip.
That would be fun. It would be fun to put that in there because this is a pre-tape.
You made me have to re-watch Captain EO, and now I got to re-watch...
Well, this one is Captain EO is pretty hard to spot me, but it's quite easy to spot me in
Space Camp.
In Space Camp, and it's one of my one of my own personal achievements that I'm very, very proud of. That's just kind of obscure and strange, is that John Williams mostly writes the scores for Steven Spielberg movies. For some reason, he wrote the score to Space Camp.
80s were a crazy
and there's
time, man.
Very dramatic music playing when I in the scene where the kids get shot into space. And I'm sitting at the computer and the camera's tracking behind me. And then I turn and look like I'm looking out the window at it rather than just watching it on my monitor. And I turn and my mouth's hanging open like, oh my God, we're shooting children into space. But at the time, the movie came out and nobody cared for it. But just recently, I was reminded of the fact that John Williams wrote the score, and that so John Williams had to watch video of me looking at the kids and then write the music to it. That's amazing, total movie nerd thing. But
so you've had
I love it.
Francis Ford Coppola, George Lucas, John Williams, all of them have all gone when looking at this footage and gone, "Who the fuck is that?
Why is that guy there?
Why is that guy there?
Why is that happening?
Cut away."
I mean, Francis probably said that on the set because they went over budget, so they hired for the last day of shooting, they hired non-dancers to just wear the costumes of
for the
big dancers.
Finale part, right?
Because you know how they're all choreographed when they first come in and stuff? Mm-hmm. And then at the end, when everybody's just celebrating, it's a whole new group of people. It's not those dancers, but they're wearing their costumes. So we had
that's
to wear their costumes.
That's a testament to good cutting, though.
And then just jump around.
Because at that point, that's like when everyone at Disneyland, because it was like a Disneyland attraction, so you'd wait in line for like an hour and a half just to sit there and watch 18 minutes of Captain EO. But by the time the ending, when everyone's cheering, everyone's like, "I got to get the fuck off of this thing. I got to get back in line for Space Mountain. Is this thing over? Wrap it up, B." Because it's like that pullout, right? Like, it's the big moment where everyone's celebrating and shit, the big swell of the music.
Yeah.
So you're in that moment?
Yeah.
Aww. I probably missed you every time because I was already in line for fucking Space Mountain.
Now, how did you get that gig?
I like to say I'm in the part right after Angelica Houston turns from an ugly monster into a less ugly princess.
Coming up next, Angelica Houston's on.
I mean, I could go on and on about this. In fact, there was a whole episode called You Had to Be There.
I was there too.
I was there too.
Yeah, with Matt
Coley. We talked mostly about that.
That's a great episode.
But you know, once you get me started about, because I've been on so many weird sets over the years for various reasons. But in the case of that one, my friend, a friend of mine, was playing the one-legged robot in the movie.
And, of course.
Yeah, and so he when the subject of we need to just have extras come in and play the dancers, he's like, "Oh, I know a guy," and so that's how I got in.
You were the guy.
I just showed up. Yeah. And a choreographer did try to teach us some moves, and they just gave up after a few hours.
So like Paul Abdul and was like, "Are you gonna do this?"
It was one of those ladies that you see on those things where there's choreography and they're talking about it. And
she was like, "And 5, 6, 7,
all
8.
Of it, yeah, all of it." Like really treating. I really felt like I was in a Chorus Line.
Chorus Line, the movie.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
She looked like Michael Douglas.
Oh, oof. So which one do we smoke first?
I can't believe you guys haven't smoked.
I know. Fuck. All right. I gotta catch up. Anyone?
I mean, I showed up to this particular party very high already, but we should all smoke something.
I'm still on my lunch break, so I'm fine.
We got this little cutie here.
All right, here we go.
That's loaded up with the Sativa Pineapple Express. You want to try that?
Sure.
Is that
anything?
Here's a lighter for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Give it a go. We've had it on the table ever since. This is the pipe you gave me, Tommy.
That's nice.
That you can hang around your neck.
All right.
Yeah.
Man, when I go back to the edit, my notes are going to be awesome.
Yeah, how's Marcia Gay Harden going to feel about some guy stoned out of his mind making editorial choices over her performance?
How do you think she got the Oscar last time?
Wait, what?
Ed Harris was smoking up that whole time in the edit room of Pollock? All those choices were Academy Award-winning choices.
Ed Harris directed that?
Mm-hmm. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's the movie that she got the Oscar for. And Ed Harris is one of the best actors in the world, right?
What about Marcia Gay Harden in The Mist?
Terrifying.
Right?
That's one of Stephen King's best stories because it's just so well constructed and has, if you remember the book is fucking bleak. And then you see the movie and that ending. Have you ever seen The Mist?
Probably.
It's got...
right here. Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Probably in my travels.
But you know, ever, a bunch of people get trapped by fog and monsters in a grocery store.
No, I'm not a big fan of the horror movie.
Oh, okay.
It scares me too much.
That's great. Good talking to you, Tommy.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. The Mist is really one of the most, to me, one of the most terrifying horror movies of the last 10, 15 years. It's very well constructed. It's very tight. Frank Darabont, who did the Shawshank Redemption, directed it.
Oh, I love Shawshank.
And he's a big Stephen King guy, right? See, so you can take a nap now if you want. We'll talk The Mist, if that's
totally
fine.
No, it's still movies. I'm still in.
Okay.
Yeah,
did you like The Mist?
This is the other thing about The Mist, is it's one of those movies that I know quite a lot about, but I've never watched beginning to end.
Wait.
And I also know that it has an ending that just bums people out.
You've never seen
I've never seen it, yeah.
It's the bummer ending.
I've managed to keep the secret.
Endings.
Yeah, yeah.
Well played, by the way. It has one of the most devastating endings, so much so that the Weinsteins were like, we're not going to release this at
really?
All.
Really?
Nope, we're not going to release this. And Darabont had a little bit of power at the time, and he went, fuck you.
Well, yeah, it was. I was going to say, it was a fuck you ending.
It's one of the greatest fuck you
endings. Oh, I want to see that.
It's like on a Twilight Zone kind of level,
right.
Not giving anything away.
Let's all do it, you guys. Let's see The Mist.
Well, here, we'll wait.
Well, not to be a spoiler, but the Coen brothers movie, the ending is... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My wife wanted to leave. That's how bad it was.
But don't you think that like Coen Brothers movies always... I'm waiting for that. Don't you feel like Coen Brothers know how to end a movie even though at the risk of losing the audience?
Oh, totally.
You know, like they
do it
like,
on purpose.
Exactly.
It's a fuck you to the audience.
Yep.
Do you love me this much you're going to sit all the way through? And that's what it was.
What's your favorite Coen Brothers movie? I can't wait to see it.
We got to go to a break, fellas.
No, wait.
I mean, you could still have that conversation during the break, but we'll be right back with Joe and Tommy.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Hey, we're back! And we were talking during the break about, or before we went to break, with world famous director Joe Lynch and also director Tommy Chong.
And I'm out. Fuck. We were talking about the Coen Brothers, and you had said that your favorite Coen Brothers movie is Blood Simple.
Blood Simple, yeah. That was the first one.
That's the first one. Yeah. I have a tradition that's lasted for the last four movies. I watch Blood Simple the night before every shoot.
Ooh.
Before, like, the first day.
Of course.
It's the movie that... Because I first got introduced to the Coen Brothers through Raising Arizona, being played, eight times a day on HBO.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Miller's Crossing and Barton Fink and Hudsucker and all those, my appreciation grew. But I had never gone back to see the first one for the longest time until, you know, maybe like mid-90s or whatever, like when Fargo came out. I was like, I gotta see Blood Simple. Yeah. And I was so blown away that that was their first movie. Yeah. You know, they worked with Sam Raimi, so there was and Barry Sonnenfeld and all these creative people at the start of their career. And there's that moment when the camera is going down the bar and there's a drunk in the way and the camera goes and continues over and then goes into a conversation with Dan Hedaya. Yeah. And I watch it every time before I go to shoot because it reminds me like this is their first movie and I'm still watching it 30 years later. Yeah. Yeah. So every decision counts.
Yeah.
So when they were on set that day and they were like, fuck, how the fuck are we gonna deal with the bum that's on the bar? Because we shot him already. He's already in the scene. We shot him yesterday. But we needed to get that shot. Fuck it, go over him. And we're talking about it today. So, it's so crazy to think that, decisions that we make on set will be seen around the world for years. If if you're lucky. But at the same time, you watch that and you go, never stop trying to challenge yourself as a director. Like when you watch that from that movie, I always go, that was made for no money with fucking spit tape and fucking duct tape. You know, it's insane that they made that first. So anyway, it's that might be my
Do you want to come on Doug Loves Movies and smoke weed and not talk about movies?
I'm going to do that at Largo. I'm just gonna sit there with a bong the whole time.
I feel like I'm watching a master class. That's pretty cool.
Sorry. Yeah. All right.
It's very interesting.
This is what happens when I smoke. I just want to talk movies, so.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean,
I also want to hear
about
topics.
You know I love movies. I truly
plug.
Do.
Such a plug.
Yeah, but we got Alicia here with the Pot Topics.
Pot Topics.
There it is.
I jumped the gun. Fuck, I'm sorry. Back to one.
Hey, Nick Rutherford's still here.
Hey, Doug, what's up?
How you doing?
Season two.
I like just by the door, though, you know, just in case.
Oh, he's that shadow.
He's ready to bolt.
Wow, that's dramatic.
He's ready to get out of here.
Oh my god.
There he is.
Real Coen Brothers moment here.
Yeah, that camera move was crazy.
Whoa, that was nice. That was some Friedkin shit right there.
Anyway, so she's here to tell us the latest news in the world of marijuana.
Okay. So last year, 2017, the global medical marijuana market was estimated to have been $11.8 billion in revenue.
Whoa.
And in Thailand specifically, marijuana used to just be an herbal medicine, but then it was classified as a narcotic in 1979. But now there's a new bill which has reached the Legislative Assembly, and it has the goal of allowing medical marijuana use.
In Thailand?
In Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah.
About time.
Mm-hmm.
In 3, 2...
Is that the only thing you didn't like about Thailand, is their stance on drugs?
I hate that, you know, when they kill you for smoking a joint, you know.
Yeah, that seems intense.
That's too...
Too much.
Too harsh.
Next topic.
Hey, more good news about medical marijuana. 80,000 UK physicians are now authorized to prescribe weed.
Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. Blimey.
Yeah.
How long ago did this happen? Did I hear about this?
Just happened.
That's
brand new.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
This is breaking news.
But why aren't I getting those tweets? Come to the UK now. Like, a lot of people think I don't go where they live
because it's medical.
You can't smoke.
Did you have a tough time?
Not easy medical. Yeah.
Did you have a tough time before getting weed in the UK? I haven't.
No, it's funny.
It's people I know.
People smoked me out after my show there, but I didn't like see a lot of it when I was there.
Did they have the tobacco in it?
They like to make spliffs.
Not a fan.
I don't like that.
Yeah, not a fan.
No. I get it, though.
And our UK audience is gone.
That's Europe. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah, and it's not legal everywhere, so like I guess the tobacco helps to cover that you're smoking it. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, it's going to change, no. Can you imagine Thailand going legal?
I am imagining it. I've never been, so I'm excited about it. Yeah.
They got marijuana there that just will keep you there. You can't get out of it. You just move there. Yeah. It's so good it is.
I agree. I mean, Thailand sounds awesome. Yeah. Hey, in Las Vegas. I don't know if you guys have heard of this place yet. It's called Planet 13.
Oh, is there?
Yes, speaking of adult playlands.
I opened it.
You opened it?
Yeah, I was one of I was a celebrity guy there to, take pictures.
That's amazing.
And say hi to everybody. Yeah, it's huge. You know what it is?
The biggest in the world.
You know what it is? It took over the Coors warehouse.
Oh.
And it's the biggest dispensary in the world. So how is that for poetic justice?
And how far is it? It's not on the strip, right?
It's a block off the strip.
A block off. Wow. Yeah. That's going to be huge.
It's going to have like lounges, smoking lounges, and entertainment.
40,000 square feet.
Yeah, I'm going to put an art museum, Tommy Chong's High Art. in
that's
the
gonna be
structure.
Part of the, yeah. the facility.
Yeah.
There's lots of like lights and music, I hear.
Oh yeah, it's got drones flying around and balloons.
Wow.
And it's a real stoner.
Holy
stoner
smokes.
Paradise. You go there and
when I'm high, I love things flying around.
Don't mind things burning over my head. No. Watching every move.
But it's big.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Wow.
It's huge. It's gorgeous.
All right.
So I
like
think
a big
mall.
You know.
Yeah.
All
right.
So
great.
I would say yes.
Yeah, we got to go check that out in Las Vegas.
Planet
if
13.
You haven't heard of it, Las Vegas.
Planet 13.
Planet 13.
It's not hard to find. Just ask for the biggest dispensary in the world.
Do they make it? Does the outside look crazy, or is it?
Yeah, it's starting to.
I mean, like, what
it's
is
so
it, like
big.
A spaceship or something? Or?
No, it's you know, it's so big. There, it's always under renovation to construct, or the art people got it. You know, they're dealing with it.
But how are the first 12?
Versus of the planets.
The planets.
Sorry, I've been waiting a long time to say that one. Oh. Next topic.
I'm just glad finally there's a place I can buy weed that's also got my lucky number in it.
Oof.
What, 13?
What?
So that's how it is.
Next.
I don't know if any of you have heard of this one, but Mike Tyson is going to have a new sitcom called Rolling with the Punches, and it's based on his own
you can
life.
Stop.
It's about a retired boxer who's growing marijuana.
Yeah.
And
yep,
I just
he gets really high and he tries to fight gorillas at the zoo.
I just really love this quote. He said, "It's basically me acting like me so people can get a look at what my life could be like in different scenarios."
Have you seen his live show?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's incredible. I'm serious. Spike Lee, the movie director.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Wrote
really?
Tyson's show. Yeah. Tyson has a live show, and he talks about his past. And
the one-man show that
the
he
one
did.
Man
oh,
show.
Yes.
Spike wrote it.
Wow.
You
got to
see it. It.
If Spike Lee directs that sitcom, yeah. I'm in.
He probably
I'm
does.
In.
He probably will.
I want to know who's hiring, actually.
You see him on stage, he tells the best stories. He talks about, you know, the craziness of the ghetto and what he went through. Oh, incredible stories.
Well, I'm ready to watch that show.
Yeah.
I'll watch all 13 episodes.
It's probably Netflix or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So check it out.
Yeah, they're really intriguing stories. They're really ear biters.
So
I just put a little button on the segment and we move on.
I was waiting.
I'm telling you, with the mug especially, I wish this was a morning show. I wish this was something that people would watch first thing when they wake up in the morning. I mean, I guess you could watch it whenever you want.
Yeah,
now that I mention it. So
somebody
try to watch this
morning.
Over breakfast, see if that works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when it goes to the wide, to the close,
yeah,
to the
you
close,
don't have to
the
hear
close,
any
it's
these,
all awkward.
You don't have to hear any of that news that's going on outside because we're just here in this basement, you know.
And let us know. Let us know. You know, talk to him.
Yeah, reach out to us. I don't have my phone or anything
Give Doug some compliments, man. He needs them.
He's doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that
he needs a little more compliments, so, yeah.
Everyone
you,
does.
Yeah. No, Doug more than anyone.
I really feed on that stuff. Especially if the weed's not very good. But 2 years. I'm going to take off 2 years.
Yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you
yeah,
can go to jail.
Because I've decided to follow the I Chong?
You know what I suggest? Is commit a crime.
Whoa.
Wow.
But for the people, like I did.
Yeah. Oh, for the people, like, yeah. Yeah, like sacrifice
good.
Yourself.
Yeah,
couldn't
yeah,
you put that against any crime and
no.
It?
You have to have a good crime. You have to go in there for something that's noble.
Okay.
A noble cause.
What would be your noble cause, Doug?
Huh? Stopping the pipeline.
Oh,
your
really?
Body.
Wow.
I mean, that
Doug's
would be
going hard pass.
I mean, there's
yeah,
a ton
it just
of them.
Feels ineffective, you and get, I'd go to jail.
You get illegal possession of a firearm while with narcotics. That'll get you 5 years.
Okay, I'll try that.
That's a good one.
5 years.
But it's legal now.
It's good thing
it's
so
legal
nobody's
going to
hear
you
this.
Can't
it's
use
just
that
a private
one.
Conversation we're having.
No, pot's too legal now, so that wouldn't work.
Yeah, well, I can't wait till we call it too legal.
We've got to get Doug a crime.
We have to.
Everybody, send in your suggestions of what kind of crime Doug could commit.
Could we shoot do
send 2 years? Maybe
post office
no
box
more than
900.
No more than 2 years. You don't want to go any longer than that.
Oh, okay. So you really got to pick a real specific crime in hopes of getting exactly 2 years.
There's a book of them. You can go through.
Oh, okay.
Could we film it?
Oh, you'd have to.
Just arrest me?
Everybody films it.
There's
no such thing as film cameraman.
That's
anymore.
True. Everything is. Everybody's a cameraman. Now.
I guess if you're doing a crime on purpose, you could get a crowd first and then do it.
No.
So there's a bunch of people there filming it.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah, advertise. Well, that's what Trump does.
Oh right.
Yeah, he commits crimes, has everybody films it,
and speed it up.
It's heavy.
Do you feel like your show's changed now that cameras are in the crowd, or could be in the crowd?
Well, now there's venues that are starting to take people's phones. They can't have phones at the show.
Really?
Yeah.
They like lock them in these pouches.
We saw Amy Schumer in Vegas, and they took everybody's phones.
Yeah.
So it's a real private thing. Dave Chappelle is the one that kind of got it going for comedy.
Really?
He started doing it everywhere because he just was sick of the idea that people could just put any portion of his act on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, but the worst thing is
because you can't develop a material if it's being time-stamped. Every time it's being filmed, yeah.
It becomes material.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
because then it's kind of like the final cut, the way it's delivered, and that's it.
You do the comedy club in Denver?
Mm-hmm, the Comedy Works, they take them there, yeah.
I was there visiting my son, and I went by the club, just for old time's sake. Mm-hmm. And Chappelle was doing a pre-show that night. I couldn't stay, though.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a. That's
I think
the best.
You guys would hit it off. I think you got a lot in common.
It's the best. I know Chappelle.
Yeah.
It's the best comedy club in the world.
Really? Which one?
What's it called?
It's called Comedy Works in downtown Denver.
It's a basement.
Yeah, low
but
ceiling.
But it's built like a mini theater,
Like it's not like the Comedy Cellar where it feels like a basement that's been converted.
No,
into
what they have a big aisle down the side. So you go to where your table is, and you can get in and out of the club real easy.
And the seats are all like, you have little trays from school.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. That sounds amazing.
There's no actual tables.
And you're so held captive by the performer. Because the performer, it's like an amphitheater. And so
interesting.
The comedy comes out of you, just like... It's like a fountain.
Yeah, and you played there before, Doug?
Yeah, lots of times. We do Doug Loves Movies there a lot.
Oh, nice.
And I started doing a traditional thing of every year on Mother's Day, I do a podcast taping there.
No way.
Because, yeah, my initial theory was that, everyone's so high in Denver that, like, they may not even know it's Mother's Day if I just say my show's on May 14th.
So you're doing them a service.
No, but also it's a lot of, especially a lot of my fans that live.
Such a good mother.
A lot of my fans that live in Denver are displaced, so they're not in the same town as their mother anyway. Because they moved.
Oh, so you
they moved to Denver.
Mother. Oh.
They moved
this
to Denver to smoke
that he
weed.
Needs to have a That's crime
it.
For.
That's it.
You need to cause a crime for displaced mothers.
For helping. Oh well, no, they got crimes for that.
You can burn down a nursery.
I don't know how much we learned in this pot topics segment, but thank you, Alicia.
Absolutely.
Wait, there's still more.
I learned a lot.
We gotta go to the commercial.
We don't have more time.
But there's a topic about Snoop Dogg. Big shocker.
Going on. Here.
Yeah, there you go.
Read that.
You can have it.
You can read it during the next.
I'll post this for the Patreon.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look at that.
Special just for the
See?
Patreon.
Shout out
folks.
To Patreon. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you,
Whoa.
Alicia. Thank you.
And we'll be back with more with...
You're missing out.
with Joe and Tommy. We'll be right back.
Jury selection continues this week in a Manhattan courtroom where former President Donald Trump is on trial for falsifying business records. Prospective jurors were asked 42 questions aimed at determining whether they can be fair and impartial, such as, can you be fair and impartial? Have you ever been a Boogaloo boy or in Antifa? And what podcasts do you listen to? Trump's required to be present in the courtroom for this trial that could last until June. And he's been talking to reporters before he goes into the courtroom.
I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election.
Donald J. Trump in court this week on Today Explained, every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. We are back. We're not going to post the Snoop story on Patreon. Turns out it wasn't anything.
Sorry, Snoop.
What was it?
You never made the cut.
In a nutshell, what was the story? What did Snoop do?
He sneezed.
What?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Of course not. It wasn't that interesting.
Reading comprehension.
That's a good memory test. Because you're the only one of us that saw it.
No, Tommy took a gander at it.
Did you? What happened to Snoop?
Who is Snoop?
Who is Snoop? Who is he really?
Where did you get a name like Snoop?
I think he was really nosy.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
It probably has some very esoteric meaning, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he just liked peanuts. Maybe he's just a big Snoopy fan.
Because you called your best friend in jail your dog.
Oh, that's what everybody's best friend in jail is?
Yeah. I used to call my best friends that in middle school.
Who was your best friend?
You had a dog in middle school?
Yeah, say what's up, dog.
Yeah.
But I never been to prison.
Well, you've been in school.
School is like a prison, yeah.
Pretty close, yeah.
Very similar.
It's actually the same.
Just has hours.
You don't want to know the truth. Because in federal prison, everybody's mandated to go to school if they had no education. A lot of people in the lockup have never had school. So they're mandated to go to school. So it's like a school.
Jeez.
Learning all different courses. You can get degrees in prison. Through the mail and through the computers and that.
They don't get to go home at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's true.
Until your sentence is up.
Yeah. You can also get degrees of murder. who is your cellmate
No, you don't say cellmate.
Oh, you don't?
It's too gay.
Domestic partner?
You say celly.
Celly's good.
Yeah. What? I like that. Celly? Sully's not
Unless
gay.
Your name was Sully, that sounds... would be kind of weird.
and you don't Sully. Mock anybody in prison.
That's a fine line right there.
Yeah, don't mock people in prison. They got enough to deal with. Yeah, but
they don't have much to lose, and you do.
But was your Sully
Jordan Belfort?
The Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, and Tommy's the one that gave him the idea to write a book.
Well, I was writing a book, and
it's like, yeah, you should do this too. You said
I'm
going to
write a book too.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't see your thanks in the credits for the movie. They are there?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they're somewhere. Yeah.
Now you got to go back and watch that too.
Give me an excuse to watch The Wolf of Wall Street. Come on.
Yeah, but are you going to fast forward or are you going to watch all 3 hours?
No, I watched the whole thing. You feel like you're on fast. The movie's actually 8 hours long.
You're going to forget to look for Tommy's name at the end by the time it gets to it.
What's my favorite part of that movie? That and the one shot where Leo's like crawling from the door to get to the Lamborghini and it's open. That is a tour de force.
That was silent movie acting right there.
That was totally. The first story Jordan told me.
The crawl
the
to the car?
The thing. He entertained me for about 6 months. Every night he would tell me stories like that. And one after another, after another, after another, he went on.
And you sit there and you go, this could be a book.
When he decided, you know, when I was working on my book and he decided he was going to write a book, he wrote a few pages and handed it to me like I'm his teacher, you know. And I read a couple of pages and, God, I've read this before. Oh, it's Tom Wolfe. He had copied Bonfires.
Oh my God.
He's a genius. So he photographic memory and all
remembered
that.
Actual Tom Wolfe
passages. And he wrote the whole thing. And he said, "What do you think?" I says, "Well, dude, you haven't written shit. You know, nothing. You wrote Tom Wolfe."
I have some notes.
This is Bonfire. So he said,
"What do you suggest?" And I told him, I said, "Well, write the shit you've been telling me every night. That's what people want to read." And he said, "Oh, okay."
You Miyagi'd him.
Yeah, and I told him, I give him the most of rule. And he quotes that all the time. I said, "If you're going to write about something, it's got to be the most of, if it's going to be on film. You know, it's got to be the biggest."
What did you think of the movie?
I loved it. Well, you like Scorsese and DiCaprio. You can't go wrong.
I'm writing a movie about how I smoked most of the weed.
Yeah.
What? And I'll catch up. That's fine. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
where
that
to start.
Wasn't a jab at you. I was just. I just wanted to use the expression most of.
I don't know. What's going on?
We got dabs ready for some weed.
It's dabs time if you want to do that sort of thing.
I've never done it.
Oh, the dab.
What?
No.
Do you want to?
You haven't dabbed?
This is a great
for the first time here.
No, that's not true. Peanut had like a pen thing that was kind of like shabby, I guess.
No,
is that the
bait.
Same thing?
It doesn't
that's
count.
Bait.
Well, no, but like he said it was like he was it's doing a lot. There's a lot of business at the top.
Yeah, there's business.
I've never done this.
It had business.
Yeah, this is the way to go.
Was there a snap with that?
Well, this thing over here, Joe, is all business.
Okay.
It's complete business.
A little bit of fun involved.
Yeah, and some fun.
How much is that party reminds on top me, though. Of business in the back? Or it's a pretty equal-sized mullet.
If we're going to do some dabs,
some
I got to find you guys your plugs.
Right.
And say your plugs, because I'll forget to say them if I do more dabs.
You want to do them?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Oh, and I got a knit list of Patreon names I got to say, too. Hi, Robert Reynolds.
Don't touch any of the metal stuff.
Okay.
That's just one of them.
Pull through here just like a normal bong.
Mm-hmm.
Put this on there, and it'll melt down. The cap goes on. When the cap comes off, clear it.
Just tell me when to pull out. All right. There you go.
He'll just say, just sorry. Suck while he says go.
Yeah.
He'll say it over and over again.
That's what it is. Baseball school coming up, I'm sure.
Tommy's currently on tour with somebody named Cheech.
And Shelby.
And Shelby, mm-hmm. Shelby Chong, and always promoting his cannabis line, Chong's Choice.
It's the best weed in the world.
Chong's Choice.
Better than this even.
Chong'sChoice.us.
Tell me more.
We'll put that up on the screen.
Yeah.
And then Joe Lynch, Mayhem is now on Shudder and iTunes.
I can't
recommend it enough, especially. Like, just look at the title of the film and go, does that sound fun to me? Do I want to watch Mayhem?
Does it pique my interest?
Because there is absolute mayhem in this movie. I can't say for sure about Point Blank yet, because he's working on it now.
It'll be out next year on Netflix.
I don't know how Point Blank it's going to be. And then, I'm so excited about this. I was participated in it last year. I'll have to call in or something. I got a gig I got to go do that weekend, but... The third annual 48-hour Save the Yorkie benefit marathon, his podcast, The Movie Crypt, they're doing that on December 14th through the 16th. Yep. You and Adam effing Green, just stay up for
48 hours
straight.
Yep.
And raising money to save all the little Yorkies.
We saved about 9 wheelbarrows filled of Yorkies.
Oh my God, you always describe it that way. I don't like wheelbarrows full of Yorkies.
So cute though, just think about it.
No, but they fall
dead.
Out.
That
fall.
Would be weird.
What
do you do with
What are you doing with a wheelbarrow?
Well, it's a Yorkie
You're
shelter
taking them
that we
somewhere bad.
Donate to that, no, that saves Yorkies. Last year we raised $24,000.
You're taking them somewhere nice, you let them get in the car or something.
Exactly.
I mean like an old school baby.
Our
carriage.
Co-host on the podcast is a Yorkie. Long story.
You're cool. Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to have to watch this, man.
Come and hang out. It'd be awesome.
Doug, you'd be a terrific guest.
Doug came on last year. We a couple times actually came on first and then came back.
Yeah, you were doing it for days.
We would do like have down. Guests. We had movie commentaries where we'd have people come in who made the movie and we would sit there and watch a movie on a couch. And at that point, we were watching Dawn of the Dead, and we had the editor of the movie, Pasquale Buba, who recently died about like 4 months ago of cancer. But you've seen Dawn of the Dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
The original one. Yeah. You know the guy with the sombrero? Like one of the bikers who gets killed at the end? That's the editor of all of George Romero's movies, like in the later years, like Creepshow and Day of the Dead.
That was the editor.
That was the editor.
Put himself in.
He also edited Michael Mann's Heat.
Oh yeah.
So nice little balance of work, but he was amazing. He came on. He was a guest on our show, but then he came back because he for the cause and was like, "I'll just sit down with you guys. We want to watch Dawn of the Dead." So Dawn of the Dead's the first movie I ever saw. Mm-hmm. I was two. My mom. We'll discuss. She couldn't find a babysitter, but that movie is huge for me.
You take a breath between each idea.
So my mom took me to see this movie, and
breath. Monkey Mel.
So Dawn of the Dead was huge for me. So to sit there with the editor of Dawn of the Dead was amazing, and Doug showed up again to hang out.
Martin McCarthy, Brian Smith, Max Gingold. Carla Miller, Quasar Finkelstein.
What?
Could be Stein. Victor Miller, Heidi Ager, and Caroline Culberson.
Victor
Sorry
Miller.
About that. And the next show is November 27th at 12:15. It's a show that I'm going to be selecting especially for you. And who needs to dab? Anybody need a dab?
I just did it. It was amazing.
And it was good, right?
Fuck yeah, very clean.
Yeah. I did it too.
You had a lot to say after you dabbed. You're good on dabs?
No, I just did one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you want two?
Speed
dab. I did another one while you were just singing.
Oh, okay. So I'll do one right now if that's cool. I mean, if it's hot and ready to go. Yeah.
We do movie dabs.
That was a cinematic dab, yeah, for sure.
No, let me just.
That shit was widescreen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right there.
There you go. Okay. Here we go.
What was it like working with Scorsese on that?
Oh, yeah, this is fun. Like, you guys talk about it while I dab.
He just let us do whatever we wanted.
Like, was he just kind of like, all right, guys, I want you to just come over here and just do your shit and go and just pick up the papier-mâché and go?
No, he was like being directed by a stoner. He'd just stand there and look at it. And we'd tell him what we were going to do. Okay.
That's it?
Hey, go back. Yeah, we just did our thing, It was real easy.
That movie is
We wrote
nuts.
Our own
really?
Dialogue and all, yeah.
But, like, how that movie works where it's like you're traveling with Griffin Dunn throughout the night,
yeah.
Was he just like, all right, so Griffin Dunn's going to be in a papier-mâché cast and that's it?
We had no clue of what
that
being,
whole thing
what
was?
What had been shot.
Wait, so you didn't know what fell out of the van?
School. I had no school. No
so
idea.
What did he say, like, all right, you're reacting to what?
Yeah, he just said...
React to some shit.
Okay, you're trying to steal this thing, the sculpture.
And not knowing that he was in there?
No, we had no clue. Because we didn't know it was somebody in there. We had no idea, the thieves, our characters.
Yeah.
No, we had...
Yeah, he falls out of the back of the van at the end, and the plaster breaks, and he gets up and dusts himself off.
But that's amazing.
That was all editing. That's all editing. All we saw was what
Thank
we did
you,
that
Dab
night.
King, Taylor Rizzo.
Course. That's Scorsese. He's onto something.
Thank you.
Oh, no, he's a master. He knows what people can do.
Thank you,
And he
Tommy
just lets
Chong.
Them do it, basically. Yeah.
Thank you,
Doug. Bye.
Oh, man.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.